is enough really enough? I am so pissed I can't see straight. When I look at everything that happened this past week, from political assassination attempts to made-up news and allegations without any evidence, unnamed sources from anonymous agencies, give me a break.
Oh, it's disgusting. I'm beside myself over this Scalise. It wasn't just him. I mean, this guy had a whole pocket full of targets apparently, and it's interesting that I can't think of the term they use, but calories. That's what the word I was trying to find. How the left is always preaching for tolerance, and accusing conservatives of being intolerant and everything. But believe me, the left's intolerance is out there for the entire world to see.
Well, it's more of the hypocrisy of the progressive left. I don't blame Democrats, because this isn't a Democratic-Republican thing. It's far beyond that. It's the extreme alt-left, the radical left, and the media. The media bears a tremendous amount of blame for the radicalization. Nobody watches Fox News and goes out and shoots Democrats. Show me where that's happened, because hasn't happened.
Not only the media, but some of your Democrat leadership also bears a great deal of responsibility. When you have people like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and quite a few others, challenging people to resist. That's their new catchword now, resist. And you had, former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, commenting that there might have to be blood in the streets. And, this is the kind of dialogue that's coming from the, from the Democrat side. And, they are absolutely encouraging people to get out and go beyond what used to be considered, political discourse. Now it's all, in your face. And if you disagree with me, I'm going to burn your house down.
Yeah. You'd be afraid to put a bumper sticker on your car because of the consequences that could bring. And, it's actually a step closer to civil war. And I don't want to sensationalize this, but the rhetoric and the violent rhetoric. The left has talked about the right, but they're the worst offenders. It comes from this, it's their mantra now is to unseat a sitting president because they don't like the results of the election that they lost.
I've said this before, and I think this is at least a partial explanation for what's going on, for the Democrats and the so-called progressive liberals to be so adamantly opposed to Donald Trump. But think about it, the left and the Democrats in it had 30 years of their lives invested in Hillary Clinton. 30 years ago, they decided she was going to be the first woman president. And they have worked and striven towards that now for 30 years, all of a sudden to come within a hair's breadth of achieving their goal and then to lose it. And it's like salt in the wound, because not only, did they come within a hair's breadth of winning the election, they actually won the popular vote. And their 30-year effort to put Hillary Clinton in the White House was the rug was pulled out from under him. Literally cannot accept it.
And it's frightening, because they picked one of the most morally bankrupt individuals that they could put up as a candidate. And they found that one in Hillary Clinton. She has marginalized herself. And through the hubris of her own and the Democratic Party became their own undoing, because of the hubris and the arrogance and the expectation, the unrealistic expectation that this was Hillary's birthright. So now, the mantra of resist through any means possible, including violence. I mean, there has been a call for violence by not only individuals, but of politicians, quote unquote, responsible leadership that we collectively have put into office somehow.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that has been, the group that Hillary and the Obamas aligned themselves with, that has been their mantra for forever, which the ends justify the means. And they certainly are true believers in, in the Rules for Radicals that Saul Alinsky put out years ago. And they're not going to change. I mean, they, as I said, they had 30 years of their life invested in getting the change that they want this country to become. Barack Obama gave him 8 years, and he came close to succeeding. And then Hillary was supposed to follow with another 8 years. And that pretty much would have been the end of our republic if that had happened. And as I said, they are beside themselves. They simply cannot accept the fact that their dreams and efforts of 30 years has been dashed. And they refuse to accept it. They're gonna fight every way they can to try to to force out or drive Donald Trump out of office.
Well, it's gonna have a backlash effect, and it started to already, like everything. Now we see a terrorist incident in London, and I'm certainly not defending or advocating this, but it wasn't unexpected, where somebody had just proclaimed that they wanted to kill all Muslims and tragically ran a vehicle, much in the same way that another Muslim did to innocent Londoners several weeks ago. Now there's the retaliation. Now is the backlash of that, the cause and effect. And we're seeing it here in the United States in the most benign ways, where people have stormed the stage of this extremely poor taste Shakespearean play, or the rendition of Donald Trump being stabbed, much like Julius Caesar. Now people have started to occupy that stage and express their dissent against this. And when you look at places like Evergreen College, where people talk about free speech as long as it's in line with their political philosophies, if you don't agree with it, then there's no room for free speech. And they're starting to run people off of campus. They're rioting, occupying, throwing urine on people, because there is no tolerance. There is no coexistence. It's my way or the highway. And when the backlash of violence begets violence, that's what leads to civil war. And the left certainly doesn't want to tangle with the right on this account. For many reasons.
For a lot of obvious reasons. It'd be a quick victory that would devolve into guerrilla warfare or something. But I have said this before, and that made this this argument that we actually have only ourselves to blame, in a sense, for what is going on right now, because those of us who, basically consider ourselves to be, more conservative or maybe libertarian, we're the type of people that we just basically wanted the government to leave us alone. We wanted to be able to go on with our life with as little interference from the government as possible, prosper if we could, take care of our families and that. So we didn't get involved in politics. We didn't get involved. We didn't run for the state and local offices, the subdivision associations, the condo associations, school boards, all of those grassroots offices.
Yep.
Yeah, we didn't run for them. But the progressives, the extreme, liberals and leftists, they did. They saw that as their ticket to power. And that's why you have you know, homeowners associations now that won't let you fly the American flag in your yard. You know, why you have school boards that, you know, have created these bizarre curriculums for our school children. That it's because those of us who are conservatives sat back and we let these people take power. It's going to take a massive effort on our part to go back to those state and local offices and run for office, you know, and get involved and take control from the grassroots level back in this country, because that's what they did. They took the state and local offices, you know, the community offices and that, and then worked their way on up to Washington, D.C. And the only way we're going to make change is to have to do the same thing.
And that's one thing that President Obama did well. As a community organizer, he was very effective on the streets of Chicago, and took that to the national level and got elected to president. And it's the same mentality that put Donald Trump in office. Like him or not, whether you're Republican, whether you're Democrat, whether you're a swamp dweller or a drain the swamp, it was that abrogation of responsibilities that put Donald Trump in office. And you're right. You're absolutely right, Del, that we're going to have to go back at the grassroots level and reestablish what you and I call American values at the very lowest levels of government and society.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, we if we don't, then we're going to continue to see some of the things that we've seen. Like I said, where they restrict the flying of our national emblem, and where our children are being force-fed an extreme liberal progressive curriculum in schools and that. That's one of the reasons. That's the primary reason, really, that both of my daughters are homeschooling their children, because they absolutely did not want their children force-fed the type of curriculum that's in public schools nowadays.
And it's not just the curriculum itself, but it's the values and the aside from the actual curriculum, it's just you look at the teachers now, and this is the snowflake generation that we've created of. Yeah, it's made us weak as a country. It's made us vulnerable. It's eroded a lot of firmly American principles, and we've strayed from the path, and we've lost sight of things at the very basic lower levels that are the building blocks, the foundation of everything beyond it.
Yeah, like I said, I grew up, I'm a child of the 60s. I grew up, during the Vietnam era, and went into the Army right towards the end of the Vietnam War. So, fortunately for me, I didn't have to serve in Vietnam. But I went, I grew up through that era. I was in high school, during the rioting, in Watts and, the racial riots, the anti-war rioting and that, which, after, it seemed to be after Vietnam, we went through a period of, I think, soul searching in a sense, we were kind of drifting, I think, as a nation. Jimmy Carter came in as president, and he, really was a poor leader. I mean, if that term even associates with him, but we went through a period of, after the Vietnam War, of, like I said, we were just kind of drifting as a nation until Ronald Reagan came in. And Ronald Reagan kind of stirred the souls in a lot of people through his rhetoric, he was a dynamic. I mean, he was he got you feeling good about yourself again. And, we really need that in this country. And, Trump has some of those qualities he exhibited during the campaign, but he's not there yet either with of the ability to really stir up a crowd like Ronald Reagan did. So You know, I don't know. Maybe we're going to drift a little bit again here until we get our feet back on the ground. And, you know, it might take another administration and before we can finally right this ship.
Well, history repeats itself. And, you know, you're talking about the age of Abby Hoffman and Saul Alinsky and Barack Obama's good pal, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, that had no problem changing our government by blowing up facilities or killing people. And here we are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were followers of the mantra that the ends justify the means. You know, in their minds, they had this vision of a utopian society, you know, and the thing I always found funny about people who professed communism or some sort of utopian existence is it's good for everybody else, but you know they're going to be the ones that are among the elite, you know, the proletariat, the Soviet Union, everybody was equal in the Soviet Union except for the ruling class. You know, they had their private dachas, and they didn't have to stand in line for for hours for a loaf of bread. So that's really the same thing that these people like Bill Ayers and that have in mind is a class of people ruled by a ruling elite.
Yeah, it started to repeat itself, and I think now, as much as the American voters took things into their own hands and elected Trump as president, I think we're going to start to see that the tolerance level of this nonsense from the left is not going to be tolerated anymore. And when you can't express your own peaceful political dissent or opposition without getting hit with eggs or feces or urine, at some point, enough will be enough. And individuals are going to take it into their own hands, and they're going to solve things very decisively. And unfortunately, that's not the way we do things here in America. But it's going to take a lot of restraint from leaders on both sides of the fence to defuse this situation. When you've got a political party that now their prime goal after losing the election is to destabilize the existing administration, to impeach him. And we've got Nancy Pelosi talking about self-impeachment. She's out of her mind.
Oh, she should be kept behind a glass window, and it should be printed on the front of it, you know, break glass, when in need of comic relief, because she is absolutely, she's out of her mind. She's delusional. She really is. She is so partisan. Yeah, I mean, she is to the extreme that she simply cannot think logically about anything, really. I mean, her default is to go on the attack towards Republicans. It doesn't matter what the issue is. Republicans could say that the sky is blue, and she would disagree with them, and she would claim that the sky isn't blue, it's light blue, you know? I mean, she's just absolutely out of her mind.
Well, gone are the times that Republicans and Democrats could reach across the aisle and find compromise. When Clinton was president, Gingrich found ways to pass legislation and find things. I heard him talking about, you know, we agree on 80% of the things 80% of the time, so let's start with the things that we do agree on. But now it's just out of spite, and nothing gets done. And, it's a self-defeating philosophy. This is exactly the problem in Washington.
Look at Ronald Reagan. I mean, he had a Democrat Congress headed up by Tip O'Neill, and he was able to get past the largest tax cuts in history, with the Democrat Congress cutting taxes. for crying out loud. Have you ever, you know, ever heard of that before? But, you know, he was able to reach across the aisle with Tip O'Neill. But I guarantee you that the Democrat leadership now, they would bite Trump's hand off if he tried to reach across the aisle towards him.
Well, it's just evolved into something that we haven't seen in my lifetime that I can remember. I remember there were times where we were pretty polarized, but nothing to the degree that we're seeing today. Hey, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors here before we go any further. Liberty Ammunition, One and Done, talking about defending Second Amendment rights and American way of life. Liberty Ammunition is made here in the United States. They're offering a special 15% discount to OPSEC radio listeners. Go to their website at libertyammunition.com. Buy your ammo online, and at checkout, enter the promo code OPSEC15 for a product discount. And you can use that as many times as you want.
We are excited indeed to be celebrating our one-year anniversary here at America Out Loud. And we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest-growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our one-year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. I'm not sure why we take our health for granted, but I know that many of us do, include me in that company. Recently, I had a couple of health scares that got my attention real quick. I started a new product called Healthy Cell. I took it for about 3 weeks, and man, I started to feel really good. I found myself sleeping better at night, had more energy in the day, and less stress and anxieties, and just feeling better overall. Well, with those kind of results, I knew I had to do something, so I reached to the company directly with a request to bring Healthy Cell back to America Out Loud, and here it is. Well, typically you'd pay $110 plus shipping and handling. Well, now you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan, plus free shipping. That's right, they'll pick up the shipping, and you pay just $79.99. Use the code OUTLOUD on HealthyCell.com, or just click the banner on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
Now there's a move afoot in Congress for congressmen to carry within the District of Columbia, which is one of the most restrictive areas of the nation as far as handguns.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't have a problem with that because I you know, am a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. But one of the things I think about is, well, you know, people wouldn't be so damn ticked off out there that they want to go shoot a congressman if these people get off their butts and start doing a little stuff around Washington, you know, instead of bickering and fighting with each other and insulting each other and stamping their feet and taking their ball and going home and refusing to play, you know, if these people in office would start cooperating and working together for the country. I mean, I think that would solve a lot of the problem right there. But certainly not advocating, you know, going out and shooting at them either. But no, I don't have a problem, with them carrying a weapon, because as you said up front, there's a lot of nuts out there that, you know, on both sides or all sides that nowadays, you know, with our society as polarized as it is, and with people as, I mean, there is an undercurrent in society of anger, and unlike I've ever seen before in my life.
Well, the problem is, as the rhetoric gets amped up, and then one side or the other meets that and raises, there's a segment of our society that is unhinged or unstable, much like this guy, that shot Scalise. And my prayers go out to Steve Scalise, and as they would had any Democrats been shot. This is something Speaker Ryan said, an attack on one is an attack on all of us. And I hope that after this blows over, and unfortunately it probably will blow over, and all this will be forgotten, and the Kumbaya songs will be a thing of the past, and it'll be back to business as normal. But make no mistake, this was a political assassination attempt. He had a hit list in his jacket pocket that was found in the van. There were no Democrats. There were conservative Republicans that were targeted for political assassination. There could have been a dugout full of dead congressmen. And the irony of this is that the only reason that there were those two Capitol policemen there, and hats off to them both, Bailey and Griner, thank God they were there. But the only reason they were there is because Steve Scalise, as Majority Whip, is part of the leadership, part of continuity of government. And one of the perks of that office is armed protection. Had he not been there at the game, who knows? Who knows how many? There could have been upwards of 20 dead members of Congress.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, he came there, he meant business. And, it's fortunate for all of us that he didn't complete his mission. But you mentioned earlier, about the concern about how, we're headed towards, our civil war or whatever. And I think there, I would agree. I mean, I think that there, unfortunately, there's going to have to be a crackdown, I think, one of these days. And I would cite the anarchist riots and that. I mean, I think it ought to be standard operating procedure that if there's a protest and you show up in a black hoodie with a black mask over your face, boom, you get arrested right now. You go to jail. If they started doing that and started arresting these anarchists and having them pay a price for what they're doing, I think it would go a long way towards stopping some of this this rioting and property damage and that, and assaults against people. There's no need to cover your face. If you want to come and you want to protest and express your political beliefs and that, hey, that's what America's all about. That's great. But you don't have to do it with a black hoodie on and a black mask over your face. As far as I'm concerned, if you show up at a protest dressed like that, that means you're there to violate the law, and you ought to get arrested immediately, arrested on site.
And I'm with you 100%, and this goes back to Congress, specifically the House, that has to introduce legislation. And one would think that this was something that could be supported in a bipartisan manner, even though I don't think there's a lot of Tea Party people showing up in black hoodies and masks. I think everything seems to be on the left side of the aisle at this point. But this is about the rule of law and civility, and it shouldn't have a political face to it. But yeah, you're right. And if Congress could stop bickering amongst themselves and get off their lazy asses and actually pass some legislation and send it to the Senate, then maybe we could avoid some of this stuff.
Well, it would be great if that happened, but I can tell you right now that the majority of these riots and protests and that are against Trump and the Republicans. So the Democrats don't want to see that stop. They don't. They're not going to join in with Republicans and enact any legislation that might restrict or hinder that, because they're all for it. That's what they want. They're trying to drive this man out of office and undo, a legal election that occurred in this country back in November.
And that's the problem. That's exactly the problem, is that as much as the Democrats can sing kumbaya and how terrible this was, they're not willing to do anything about it. If they are, they'd support laws like this and support actions to curb and curtail this type of anonymous violence. And I'll tell you another thing that people can do at the grassroots level. It's not just start running for school board and civic association leadership positions. It's and certainly there is that, but the tolerance or the acceptance of media and media's radicalization. I'll tell you what you can do is you go to an airport and they're showing CNN and fake news in the airport terminal. You start emailing and you start calling the airport authorities or the state transportation authorities. And you start saying, hey, why is it that you have CNN? I'd rather watch BBC or Al Jazeera from a foreign country than watch this propaganda drivel that comes from so-called journalists.
I'd rather watch Beavis and Butthead.
That's what it amounts to. When you have, you know, and then you've got Jeff Bezos on Amazon, and I love Amazon. It's convenient. Now he has his political agenda. Certainly isn't mirrored with mine, but I get this crap in my mailbox, email from Amazon and all these other, you know, that all have their political take on things, which is all liberal, anti-Trump, and that's fine. They have the right to do that. But we as consumers have the right to start calling the sponsors. If ABC company is advertising on CNN, say, you know what? I love your product, but I'm not going to buy it anymore. There's other products out there, and I'm going to patronize. You know what happened when USAA pulled its advertising from, I think it was Sean Hannity, one of the Fox shows. There were thousands, tens of thousands of people that said, "Hey, I've been a USAA customer my whole career in the military, but I'm not going to play this game." And sure enough, they reinstated the sponsorship. Likewise, when you hit somebody in their pocketbook and say, I'm not going to buy your product because you advertise on this fake news, whether it be MSNBC or CNN, take your pick. When it starts hurting them and their bottom line, they're going to start listening. And that's what people need to do, individuals, to start taking things into your own hands and voicing your opinion. Otherwise, we let the media shape future elections. They're doing it already. It's amazing that Trump won in spite of all the fake news that was perpetrated and all the major networks and newspapers being aligned against him. And while I'm on my rant about the Soros-funded deep state, you know, Soros has overthrown other countries through the same quote-unquote deep state and popular uprising. There's no reason why it couldn't be, why that same template wouldn't work in our own country. And if people sit back and let this happen, shame on them.
Yeah, I don't know why that guy is still walking the streets. I mean, it would seem to me that, there's something that could be done to bring his or stop his influence. I mean, I don't know if there's obviously funding that's being provided by him to, you know, to some of these efforts and these organizations and that it just seems to me that there, you know, there's got to be something that from a criminal standpoint that, you know, that's not being done right now that could be done. But, you know, then again, I could be wrong. I don't know.
No, you have sedition laws. You can't drown him.
They haven't been used in forever, but You know, that's part of the problem, I think, is because, you know, now everything is so much, you know, wanting to protect freedom of speech, as long as it's not conservative speech. But, you know, I think it kind of falls under that umbrella that, you know, that, well, it's, you know, it's inhibiting freedom of speech if we, you know, try to, you know, enforce a, you know, sedition law or something, because if they're just speaking out and they're not actually taking over steps to overthrow the government, they're not breaking a law, I guess.
No, well, I mean, there's still sodomy laws on the books in most states, I imagine. They're not enforced. There's a lot of laws, archaic or otherwise, that are not enforced. But they're laws. So either we repeal them and get rid of them, or we enforce them. Otherwise, why do we have such laws? If they don't make sense anymore, get rid of them. But they were passed at one time for a reason. And if it was meant to prevent sedition by our own citizens, well, then enforce them.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think that, well, we've seen cases recently, you know, the Edward Snowden and Bradley Manning, and now this, you know, Miss Winter. I mean, certainly those are, as far as I'm concerned, you know, cases of outright, you know, treason committed against the country, which back in the day, you know, you got hung for that. But, you know, not anymore. Now you get set free by Barack Obama. So, you know, it's certainly times have changed, that's for sure.
You know, Del, there was recently an article in Newsweek, hardly a bastion of conservatism, in regards to these are the rogue operators in various branches of government. And in this case, it was the FBI, where allegedly FBI agents or an FBI agent had offered a bribe to a Russian national as part of a plea deal or whatever, but a bribe to say that he had hacked the elections at the behest of the RNC. Totally fabricated. Now, here is a sworn federal agent. Okay, now this is another reason why the FBI loses credibility in the eyes of the people. From the lowest bottom of a single special agent all the way up to the top, to Director Comey. Trump should have fired Comey the day that he took office, before any of this other crap that happened or never did happen transpire, just for the fact that Comey had already compromised himself by not enforcing the laws of the land and giving Hillary Clinton a pass and not indicting her. You know, where we're operating now off of rumor and innuendo and speculation about Russia this, Russia that, we know for a fact that Hillary Clinton had very close ties with the Russians, that she, you know, wanted to, with her silly little reset button and selling strategic uranium interests of the United States to the Russians. That's a fact. That's proven. What was done about that? Nothing. What was done about the sitting attorney general meeting clandestinely with former President Clinton while his wife was running for office of the president and being under investigation? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing to see here, people. Just move along. So
yeah, you know, and for all of the criticism that certainly that it's due, the one time that the media really did something right was that meeting in on the tarmac in Phoenix, because had it not been for my understanding is there was a local reporter who was just happened to be there on another story or something, and you know, basically became aware of this meeting that took place on the tarmac there at Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix. Had it not been for that, you know, that reporter, we never would have known about, we still would not to this day would not know that that clandestine meeting took place. And, you know, we both have our opinion on what took place in that meeting. And there's no doubt in my mind, you know, that the Clintons are known to play hardball. And I guarantee you, I'd bet money that Bill Clinton basically told Loretta Lynch that, you know, you indict Hillary and she's taking Barack down with her. You know, I'll bet money on that. But that's one thing that the media, like I said, at least one person with the media did something right at that on that occasion anyway.
And like you said, it was totally happenstance, and it makes one wonder how many other clandestine meetings have gone on that we don't know about.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, to this day, I am still so ticked off at the news media they basically let that slide. Yeah, it hit the news a little bit, or, you know, they mentioned it and everything. But you know darn good and well that had that been Republicans involved, I mean, the media would still be screaming about it. You know, this far afterwards, they would still be screaming for it, wanting someone prosecuted for that. So there definitely is a double standard and a hypocrisy in the news media. Their bias is obvious.
Well, and this goes back again to Americans voicing their dissatisfaction. Merely not watching a station is passive resistance, and that's not good enough. Yeah, perhaps it shows up in Nielsen ratings or whatever they've got. But, you know, with some of the biggest weapons in the arsenal of the right are social media and talk radio, conservative talk radio. And we know this because the left, the Democrats and the liberal left, have been vociferous in their opposition to both. They know that Hillary Clinton, a lot of her downfall, aside from Hillary Clinton being Hillary Clinton's own worst enemy, was social media, and they misjudged this. And there's been efforts afoot repeatedly to restrict talk radio because they're not as tolerant of free speech as they make themselves out to be. And shows like this and the national level shows on major networks or syndicated blogs, it's a weapon that can be used by either side, and it was used quite effectively to counter I don't know what you want to call it, the politics and the philosophies of Clinton and the liberal left.
Yeah, see that, and that's the difference between the other side and people like you and I. We're open to hearing and listening to what they've got to say and their arguments. I can only stand so much, and then I switch channels. But you know, I will listen. I will turn on MSNBC and listen to Rachel Maddow, because particularly when there's some major, you know, political event or whatever taking place, because I want to see what the other side is saying. I want to understand what their arguments are, and I will listen to it. So I certainly don't want to shut them down. I want to hear what they've got to say, because I want to know what they're thinking and what I've got to do to defeat their arguments. But the same doesn't hold true for them. They absolutely want to shut down any conservative radio program or conservative columnist, I mean, you name it. If you know, they would shut this program down, and they've already tried to shut down, like as you said, Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and others. So I mean, there's certainly a double standard out there, and you know, sometimes I wonder if maybe we need to start playing as dirty as the other side does. But it's just not the American way.
It's not, and the left has taken it to that level. And it goes back to, at what point do we get to where we've had political assassination attempts? You never saw that. You had somebody jump the White House fence, but there were no assassination attempts on Barack Obama. There were no calls for violence against a Democratic Congress or a Democratic administration, and nor should there have been. I'm not saying that there should have been, but as much as the opposition to that administration and that individual, I had never heard in the media, in the, you know, the mainstream blogs, nobody from the right ever called for anything but peaceful unseating of an administration through free elections.
And, you know, it's the same, you know, when I hear the argument put up about, well, when Barack Obama was president, you know, the Republicans, I mean, Mitch McConnell, you know, said that he was going to, you know, whatever it was he said, I don't remember the exact quote, but he, you know, he was going to fight tooth and nail against Obama's agenda. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly acceptable. You know, if you believe that someone's policies are wrong and they're wrong for America, you have every right to fight tooth and nail to prevent that you know, politically, you know, that agenda from being enacted. But that's not what's going on now. Literally, they are talking about, you know, upending a duly held election simply because they don't like the man. I mean, it is personal. They don't like the man. And, you know, I didn't particularly care for Barack Obama, but he was elected twice. And, you know, it was okay to fight against his policies because, you know, I thought they were bad for America. And I wrote, you know, a number of columns in disagreement with his policies. But, you know, what's going on now with the attacks against Republicans and Trump is, like I said, it's gotten downright personal to the point of shots being fired.
Well, if you're an American and you don't see this, you need to open your eyes, because it's very clear to me. This is the agenda of the left. It's the agenda of mainstream media, is to do everything in their power. And their power is not to be underestimated. When you control what the Americans read and see and listen to, then you exert some tremendous influence. Because let's face it, it's the sheeple. Most of America's population are lemmings. Nobody's going to go out and find out what the truth is and investigate it on their own. If you listen religiously to MSNBC or for Fox, for that matter, if you just have one source of where you get your news, then you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, most Americans are more concerned with, you know, who to invite to next Saturday's backyard barbecue, what color to paint the spare bedroom, or little Buffy's upcoming dance recital, than they are with what's going on in this country. If it doesn't affect their little corner of the world, their little slice of America, you know, then they're fat and happy and content to just go about their business and not really pay attention to what's happening. And that's how things have gotten to the point that they have in this country, is people have sat back and allowed it to happen. And it's going to take a major turnaround on the part of you know, most Americans now are going to have to start paying attention, and getting involved is the first step.
Well, you know, going back to this whole thing with Jeff Bezos, he has his agenda. He probably has more money than Trump. I don't know. But a very wealthy guy. So controlling the media, and when you start buying up major news stations and newspapers and radio stations, you are exerting a monopoly on the communications industry, and you can control the news. Now he's bought Whole Foods Market. So not only can you buy everything under the sun online, and that's great. It's super convenient, and you can have it delivered by drone to your doorstep. That's all cool. Welcome to the 21st century. Well, now he's buying up Whole Foods. Now what happens when one individual starts not only controlling all the news that you listen to and read, But the groceries that you buy, there's a point at some point that is reached where, you know, this is why we had Senator Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, breaking up all the big monopolies that started to control every aspect of life in America. And we don't want to get to that point again, especially with that shapes the minds of our children, that will lead us in future generations, and that shape the minds of everybody through the news that we receive.
It's called programming. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're working towards programming everybody to think, you know, groupthink, and you know, it's been a lot of years since I read George Orwell's 1984. It basically, what it comes down to, it's programming. You know, he apparently wants to program what people think, you know. And it's like I said, it's been a lot of years since I read 1984 by George Orwell, but
mind speak.
You know, there's certainly a lot of parallels to what's going on now. And so he wasn't maybe just his dates were a little bit off, but you know, I think we can. There's a strong argument to be made that's what's going on with the media now, is to program the way people think instead of report the news.
Yeah, I think that's a very poignant comment. And in fact, I've thought back. I probably haven't read it since high school or college myself, but maybe it's time that we all pick up a copy of George Orwell and read or reread 1984. Even though the schedule may be a little off, we're we're fast approaching that paradigm.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to take off here, but I'll end with my favorite quote from George Orwell, which is, "People sleep peaceably in their beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf."
I love that quote. And you and I, at one time, were part of the group of rough men that did just that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for your service. You're listening to Del Wilbur and Jamie Williamson on OPSEC Radio on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Thanks for joining us.